Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
This episode of EU Startups Podcast is brought to you by Vonta. Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vonta automates compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vonta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vonta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get a special offer of $1,000 off at vonta.com/EU Startups. That's vanta.com/EU Startups.
Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups podcast. My guest today is Dominik Angerer, co-founder and CEO of Storyblock, a content management system that empowers developers and marketeers to create better content experiences across any digital channel. Storyblock completed its biggest funding round yet and one of the largest in the history of Austria's tech scene, $80 million Series C. Dominik, welcome to the show and congrats on the round.
Thank you so much for having me, Marcin, and thank you so much. Yeah, it's been some time in the making for sure.
Yeah, Dominik, so let's get right into it. Storyblock's remote first approach is pretty bold. What sparked the idea to go fully remote from the day one? Because it wasn't so obvious back then, I think. And how has the how has that shaped your company's culture?
Yeah, so there were two things that really influenced that one. The first one was when Alex, my co-founder, was still in Austria. We watched a lot of recommendation videos around, okay, how to build certain things, how to think about hiring. And one of them was from La Familia, I believe that's the name. It's a French kind of incubator, and did a video out about where to find the best finance people and finding the best salespeople. And turns out that is usually not in 10 to 15 kilometers of your own city.
Right.
The best salespeople you can get for SDR, BDR kind of activities would be in Barcelona, because they speak so many different languages at the same time.
Really?
That it's just really nice to connect with them, and really, really nice because they can speak it natively. Mm-hmm. And finance. I guess nobody or everybody actually understands that that might be Switzerland, given that they have so many international finance topics. But the crazier thing that happened is that Alex moved back to Brazil because his wife is from there. So in 2018, he moved completely back again. And so even before COVID, Alex and I, when we were starting the company, were already completely remote.
Exactly, because it wasn't accelerated through the COVID times, because some of the companies, went completely remote, and it's kind of accelerated the remote culture due to the pandemic. But you actually started it way before that. So Dominik, congrats again on the $80 million Series C funding round. Can you give us the inside scoop on, what it was like to secure one of Austria's biggest tech investments, and what exciting plans are on the horizon?
Yeah, it was actually a lot of work. So we talked with more than 60 different investors, reached the term sheet stage with a couple of them, price indications with even more. And it took us quite some time, I would say about 5 to 6 months, including preparation time. So really getting data room right. And it's slightly different to a seed round, a Series A round, because in the Series C, the stage we are at, you need to prove and show a lot of data and a lot of number, because it's a growth investment.
Yeah.
So it's all about what are your KPIs, what is your magic number, what is your LTV versus customer acquisition cost, what is the customer acquisition cost payback time, is there how does the rule of 40 apply to you? There are so many KPIs and metrics you can think of, and we had to prepare all of them, of course, and the ones that we did not have maybe, and then we really went out and tried to find the right partner. So we still had enough cash for more than enough time, but the interesting thing for us is we always try to find the right partner to partner with. And luckily, we found Brighton Park Capital, including Kevin and his team, like really, really early on in the process. They were an introduction of our existing investors, which is quite usual on like follow-on rounds that you get introduced to them. And yeah, it turned out that they were the right partner that we wanted to partner with because they understand our market, they understand what we want to do. And our next plan is with the capital to really go towards the Northern American region. So we started going towards the US from a sales perspective, from a market perspective, about 12 months ago. And right now it makes up about 20% of our business. But in about 1.5 years, it should be making up 50% of our business.
All right.
While growing the rest as well. So the plan is to really go towards the US, really double down on the customers that we were already closing in the past. But now we can do it even a little bit more aggressively, I would say.
Sounds great, Dominic. So, you know, like with top brands like Adidas, Tesla, and Netflix, you know, loving Storyblock, what was the secret sauce that makes your CMS, you know, platform so irresistible to these giants?
Yeah, I believe you can drill it down to actually something that is not just about the CMS. It's about like how we built the product. So we completely bootstrapped it from the beginning. So from 2017 to 2020, it was fully bootstrapped. It was just Alexander and myself, nobody else. And during that time, we really focused on just building the product. And we had a live chat on the website and also in the application. And we really tried to build the products that they solve a problem for our customers. And turns out if you continue doing that while you're fundraising and while your team is growing from 2 to 240, and you're still delivering a product that actually solves a problem, not just your own, but the one of your customers, they like it because the problem is solved. So we were really, really lucky, or not lucky, but we really tried to get to the point where we only started to scale when we have product market fit. Because once you have this kind of customer base that understands what you're doing and they really solve a problem for them, they want to pay for it. And not just pay for it, but they also want to integrate it even further and further and further. And so you receive more feedback about problems you might be able to solve. And that's like this viral kind of product loop that you can get into. And I believe we were lucky to hit that so early because not every company hits that in the lifetime, actually.
100%. Nice. So it's like all about, you know, staying kind of true to your initial approach, like focusing on the problem that you've got to solve, like not losing focus of that, and then focusing on the product. So like you continuously like iterate and improve it together with the customers. I love it. Dominic, so your team has exploded to, you know, 250 plus people around the world in just 2 years. Which is a lot. How do you keep the remote work vibes positive and, you know, everyone feeling connected?
Yeah, so that is definitely a challenge over time, and especially when you're out fundraising for like 90% of your day, not just your workday, but the whole day. But the interesting thing is, like, I believe we have just amazing people that like were committed from going into this remote company from the beginning. So it's not that we were an in-office company that then flipped everybody to becoming remote or hybrid. No, we actually hired people that wanted to be remote. So they already used to working separate. They're used to working asynchronously. They're used to like being in a co-working space rather than in an office setup. And that, first of all, is already setting a different tone when you communicate with them, because a lot of communication is written. It's in Slack. It's in a Notion kind of a description when you really need to write something down. And I believe the nice part is when you then suddenly come together. So last year, we actually had our first come together after all those years in Barcelona, actually, with 240 people. It was really, really nice. And throughout the year, you know, like we have automated coffee chats scheduled for them. So every 2 weeks, they're connected with a random person in the company. We have, because we are remote, we have a list of recommendations for restaurants in the whole world. So you imagine 100-page document with fully really nice designed recommendations of, hey, if you're in Linz, you should go to Café Central and try the food menu there, you know?
Like, so it's really nice. Should I head to when I go to the new place for recommendations?
Yeah, now, if you want, like literally like more than 100 pages of recommendations, it's really nice, and globally as well. So that is just like, our team is distributed in 47 countries. So chances be that there might be a good restaurant around wherever you are in the world.
Nice, sounds awesome. Dominic, so like getting back to product, you know, revolutionizing content management sounds awesome, actually.
Does it?
What are some of the...
So the most people told us it's super boring. Why the hell would you do that?
It's content management. Like, everything about content for me sounds awesome. I just love creating content, and then you got to manage it. So it's awesome. And I know how hard it can get. So, you know, like, I was just wondering, what are some of the coolest features Storyblock has rolled out, you know, to shake up the CMS game from your personal experience?
Yeah. So, number one, our visual editor for the headless CMS. That is like a really, really nice one. The second one I would say is the component approach that we have with like the reusable content blocks, where you can really just reuse them across different content pieces. But just with the Series C announcement, we also brought in an ideation room. So what does the ideation room mean? Before coming to that, there's one really interesting thing. So right now, most content management systems are a place where you send your content to die. It's literally a content graveyard. Mm-hmm. Because once you save it, once you created it somewhere else, actually, most of the companies create the content in a Word document, in a Google Docs or Notion, and then copy and paste it into the CMS, because for them it's more of a storage platform.
Right.
So you just save it there, you publish it, and you never touch it. So if your company or if your team changes in like 12 months, they still have the old content and nobody will like update it, adjust the tone, adjust the messaging. No, it will just die there, essentially. So with the ideation room, we realized, okay, why are they creating the content somewhere else? Like, why are they not doing that in the CMS? And we realized most CMS just don't do that. They just cannot do that properly. So what we have done now is we have brought this unstructured kind of ideation kind of place, which is literally just a white page, nothing else. And you can create your content there. You can ideate with your colleagues. You can in real time collaborate even with a small co-pilot kind of app that we have integrated. And it's just an amazing kind of feature in a separated section of the application. And then you can tag those ideas. Every document is basically an idea to existing content pieces, and you can also start from within your existing content, create those ideas and link it up. So it's a really nice way to reuse old content and connect with new ideas towards those content pieces. And in the future, what we want to also do is, like, based on those ideas, based on what you have been created and published over time, we want to then make suggestions on your old content to, hey, how about you update it like this, and really give you like the drill down on, hey, this has changed or should be changed. And I believe becoming like this end-to-end content platform rather than just a place where your content is sent to die is what we want to do. And that resonates right now with a lot of customers, because they're really facing those issues as we do with our own content. It's now like 6-7 years since we started creating content. I mean, even now, like, if you look on our website, there's a content from 2018. It's updated.
Yeah.
But I created that article in 2018, that 6 years ago. Imagine nobody would have touched that. It would be completely out of date.
Completely
something else.
Sounds really cool, Dominic. Like, actually, you already touched a bit of the future topic. And my next question was about, you know, what are the, like, hottest trends and biggest challenges you think will shape the future of content management?
Yeah, to be honest, there's actually one larger one. It's more about, like, you know, like, AI is everywhere now, and we're not becoming an AI company whatsoever. But I believe in the future, it will be really hard to get, like, quality content and not just any hallucination of a CMS an AI that allows to be stored into a CMS. So I believe having a potential where there's an analytics to really show before it's published about, hey, is this actually quality content, or is it just another copy and paste kind of exercise? And that is, I believe, a challenge that we'll all face. We don't have a solution yet, but we're going to get there.
Nice. So Dominic, exceptional customer service is a big deal for you guys. Can you share, I don't know, a fun story where Storyblock went above and beyond to, you know, wow a customer?
So I believe the most interesting thing, it's about a partner agency from 2018, I believe it was. And just kind of comes to my mind because we're still in live chats today. So Alexander and myself to some degree.
Yeah.
But by now, of course, our amazing team just tells us, hey, Dom, we got it. Please don't interfere. So I'm only reading. I'm currently not replying. I don't want to mix things up. But back in the days, we were replying at weird times. So literally at 3, 4 a.m. in the morning and of our time. And that agency partner, actually one of them, he wrote us about like, okay, I can't believe you're not bots. It must be bots because... at any time, no matter which day, somebody's replying in like minutes. And that's what we have been doing basically in the beginning all the time because we want to understand our customers, yeah. Right? So the person, and shout out to David, I believe if you listen to it, you understand it's about you. He actually asked us, okay, what's the time in Japan? And so I had a follow-up question, which city in Japan? Because different time zone. And he got Tokyo. And I'm like, okay, here's the time for Tokyo. He's like, yeah, you must be a bot. You must be a bot. And that escalated to the point where we then discussed like his new house because he actually wants to buy a new house. So we discussed actually going beyond basically just support on Storyblock. We then discussed, okay, what I think about the house plans that he's had. And I believe that is just amazing. I mean, we're not doing that for all customers. We're not doing that all the time. I have no experience whatsoever when it comes to houses. I'm living in a smaller flat. But I believe like this commitment to understanding our customers is quite unique.
Nice. I like it. That's such a cool story. Dominic, so actually when we were talking about this challenges on the way, I know that every founder has their battle stories. What were some of the toughest challenges you faced when starting Storyblock, and how did you power through them?
Yeah, I believe that the hardest one was before we got the funding, but already were profitable. So it's this weird mixture of, okay, we're now making money, we are in this area, okay, should we now hire more people or just go the extra mile and understand, okay, what else can we build, what else can we do before we start hiring people? Because in the beginning for Alex and me, it was really, really tough to let go of a lot of things, not because we didn't want to, but because we didn't want to bring somebody in and that had to fix certain things that we had to do on the product side. So in 2018, both Alexander and myself, we worked more than 100 hours for the whole years, every week essentially. And that is a lot of work. That is way too much work. Yeah. And it results in way too less sleep. It results in way too less time for family, friends, partners and so on. So that was tough. That was really, really tough. And it continued for like 2.5 years, right? So being committed that much into something that you don't know if it will land out or if it works out is quite weird and really challenging. And I have to say, I'm really lucky that Alex is supporting me, and I believe also in the other way around, because there were occurrences where huge client, we wanted to close that person, like that client, and Alex went beyond what you can imagine when it comes to onboarding and helping them and building a POC, and they really liked it. And then it comes back, because back in the days we were only two people, hey, we love the product, it's superior to whatever we have seen so far, but you're two people, we cannot use it. It's a security threat, when there's a bus a little bit faster than you, then we have a problem. And they were right. I mean, fully get it. And luckily they are now customers like 6 years later. But back in the days, it was like, wow, okay. So we got the better product. It solves the problem. It's fully automated. They don't need to rely on people to do that. But it's still something that we are just two people that they cannot purchase us. And there was the point where Alex, and he told me that later, was at a point where he actually wanted to just tell me like, hey, it's too much and we are not going to make it. And at that day, I closed another customer for six figures. And suddenly, complete flip, it's just up and down, and you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I believe this is really, really the essence of like starting something. You never know what's around the corner. So you
100%. As they say, the roller coaster ride. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Going up and down, and like it's really important to have, like this chemistry with your co-founder, so you can guys support.
The same for the leadership team. So later on, it's not just the co-founders, it's really the whole leadership team. If you need to work with people that you actually like, because if you don't do that and if you don't select for that kind of bias,
it's not going to work out long term.
No, sure. Because you're like, you hopefully are committed to at least 3, 4, 5 years with them, because that's the time span that would be like the most like perfect kind of fit. And we're lucky, like most of our leaders are now with us for 4+ years. So we took a lot of time and selecting them carefully, where we said, okay, this now makes sense. This doesn't make sense. That person does make sense. And so a lot of back and forth.
Meaning, so it's actually time you were saying?
No, all good.
Okay, cool. So because it's time for a role rehearsal. I mean, reversal. To reverse a role.
Oh, I'm allowed to ask questions now.
No, actually, no. But good one. If you were, if you were mentoring a newbie founder, in that, let's call it CMS space, what are the top 3 pieces of advice you'd give them to hit the ground running?
Yeah, in the CMS space, don't do it. There's story block. You don't need to build it. We build it for you. every other space, and I'm only able to talk about software and software as a service in particular, because like hardware is a completely different ballpark. I'm not going to just tweet out. But in software, like right now, there's a really good time to start bootstrapping. One thing that we have done, did not start it by closing down on our jobs and don't work on the side, basically. What we have done is we actually, while we were still working the 40 hours in the agency or 40 plus hours in the agency, we started building the foundation of our product. So you don't have to hand in your notice and say, I'm gone, I'm not building something. That's not how you can start a business. You can literally, because of software, it allows you to do that on after work, essentially, start your own thing. Mm-hmm. You can start building the foundation, start with the user model, start with the base MVP kind of functions. Write a couple of people of LinkedIn, not to sell it to them, but really, hey, I'm trying to solve this issue. Do you have it? I don't want to sell anything to you, but I really want to understand if that's an issue for you. And try to find your ideal customer profile really early on, because the more niche you are going to get with your product, the easier it is to actually solve something for them. And telling that with building a CMS, which is one of the most generic and horizontal platforms out there, is weird. But to be honest, that is something that I've now learned for the last 6-7 years. If you would have niched down to only one particular user group or ideal customer profile, it would be way easier to sell, because then you can multiply it later on. Once you become the leader in this ICP, you can just take another group and, hey, we have already leaded that kind of customer group. Now we want to focus on you. What is the problem that you're solving or need to solve? And basically, I believe right now you can bootstrap for a long time without actually spending a lot of money. And the nicest thing is how can you acquire customers without spending money? Just Google the term long tail targeted phrases or long tail marketing. It's about content creation, not for headless CMS, for example, but for headless CMS with UGS on with a PHP background. So really long tail background. And the idea is that people that have the specific issue searching on Google for this long tail kind of topic, they will find you. And because it's long tail, it's really targeted, and it allows you to really go into, okay, I'm solving it for this one group. And over time, you can add more and more articles, more and more content, and then basically go up for the short tail, which is the more aggressively ad-spended kind of term. And that is the advice I can give. Start bootstrapping, try a little bit of content marketing, try to get early users, and try to reach out to people that are not your customers, not your friends, and ask them if that is a problem that they're having and if they are in your ICP.
Yeah, amazing. I love it. Thanks, Dominic, for sharing those with our audience. Lastly, tell us what you've got going on in your life at the moment. Any new projects or initiatives that you're excited about either within Storyblock or outside.
Yeah, only within Storyblock. Yeah, like it's a full-time 100% plus commitment.
Yeah.
we are actually building a new section of the product again. So now that the ideation room is done and we already got the content storing, publishing kind of thing done, there's now a layer in between that we are going to build, and we are going to call it concept room. I'm not allowed to share too much right now, but I can tell you already, it's really amazing. It's about a visual collaboration tool again, not something like Miro, not something like our visual builder, but something that really helps customer build out the content models, build out the architecture actually as well. And I believe that is solving another like step in between. And yeah, I'm prototyping right now on like smaller features and ideas that we had in the past about like an AI context model. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that turns out, or if it turns out. I'm not sure yet.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Dominic. Thanks for taking the time to joining us on the show. I wish you all the best, and I can't wait to see the new
features. Thank you so much, Marcin. And at one point, I will turn the tables and actually start interviewing you as well.
Let's do that. Looking forward, man.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.